was the formality on record keeping of drawings and designs as they progressed?
Nothing very much. I guess the formal ones from them were all given special, you know, group numbering.
There's a master numbering system
within that group. Did I mention that this balanced mixer, which I mentioned, had been built by Yale and Town by die casting?
Yes.
I intended to, but I think I didn't get to say that the original one was machined out of solid brass at William S. Haynes, which is one of the world's most distinguished flute manufacturers. And they used to be located...
Flute?
Flute.
Musical instrument.
Yes. They used to be located, their main shop was upstairs over on Mass Avenue, right near where the Heinz Center is now. And Jules Simmons, who was our procurement person, had arranged that thing, that they're doing certain model building for us. And they were building this thing. We went over to visit them whilst they were in mid-course in building the first one of those things. And they did a beautiful job. It's a very complicated thing to machine that out of solid with all the matching irises and things inside it and so forth. And it was just shortly after, there was a mathematician at Case Western Reserve, or just Case Institute then, I guess, where they combined later, who was famous for having a flute collection and for having done some mathematics to identify a bad note on a typical standard flute fingering, you know, resonant problem. And he had died, and there were articles in the papers about his flute collection in which he had some number of solid platinum William S. Haynes flutes. And so they told me that they were flooded with queries about platinum flutes, and they said they hated platinum flutes because it's such a terrible metal to machine. I don't think anybody would consider it now, but
no.
But
was
they
this,
had.
Was this the Simmons that?
Yes, that's.
I said Jules Simmons.
Engineering Administration, yes. Bernard Rice.
So this yeah. Jules.
He can't see, he was another Columbia.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came with Zacharias probably. Yeah, he died not long after the war, as I remember. Well, they had one man repairing flutes. They weren't making any flutes then. And they told me, they asked me, would I like to try to play the flute? And I said, oh heavens, I couldn't, I couldn't come anything near playing a flute. So they said, was I interested to hear a flute? And I said, sure, oh, that'd be nice. So they called the fellow off the milling machine down there, and he went and he washed his hands and cleaned up, and then he played some Bach and some other things on a flute for me, and I talked to him a bit. He had once been in the symphony orchestra, but he said, oh, the life of a musician is too hard, and he preferred running the machine. Well, of course, in the war years, I think there was a certain security involved in that that might not have had otherwise. They also showed me that they had been working with the Boston Symphony players on making violin bows out of metal. The back of a violin bow had always been wooden, and they had this hexagonal aluminum tubing which they had enameled to look like wood. They had a wood grain and paint on it, but they had converted several violinists from the Boston Symphony into using these experimentally. And I said, where do you get this tapered aluminum hexagonal tubing? And they said they asked all the manufacturers, Reynolds, aluminum, and so forth, to make it for them, and they wouldn't. So they had to make it themselves. But they wouldn't tell me how they made it. They still exist. They're now located in Arlington. They're still, I talked to them once about, I'm thinking of getting a flute for my son. they have about a waiting list of a year, several years to get a new William S. Haynes flute.